If you will, once again, turn to the book of Hebrews and to the 13th chapter and the 20th verse. If you're visiting with us today, we are finishing a study through the book of Hebrews that we started back, I believe, around April. We spent the first part of the year in the prophet Daniel, and then we came to how in these last days, in the former days, God spoke to us through prophets. In these last days, He's spoken to us through His Son. And so we now come to finish this study. And before we get to this, I do want to encourage you to be aware that next week we will begin a new study. It's going to be a little bit of a different Christmas series. We're going to actually study the story of Christmas through the life of Ruth. Jesus is great, 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 so many greats. We don't know grandmother. I know some of you will be traveling, so I'd encourage you to have opportunity after next Sunday. Either read the first chapter of Ruth if you're going to be away, or you can. The sermon will be posted online a couple of days afterwards. But be prepared for that. Pray for that, that the Lord would use that, our new series that will start next Lord's Day. Well, you know, whenever you come to the end of a long study of some subject or of a book, it's very customary to have a review or to have a wrap-up session. And I have to admit, I haven't looked forward to or enjoyed most of the reviews or wrap-up sessions that I've had to sit through in my life. In my mind, a lot of times, I'm usually thinking, okay, we've been over that. Let's move on. Or I'm thinking, okay, you're not telling me anything that I don't already know. And in fact, I'll admit to you that there was actually a review session for 1 Timothy in Sunday school that I had Donnie and I had Suzanne skip this morning so we could go ahead and go to 2 Timothy and get through most of 2 Timothy before the end of the year. But as we come to the end of the book of Hebrews, we find something much different. There's not just a simple review, and you could say it's a review, but it's really a blessing. It's often called a benediction. And if you've been in church very often, at least in our church, you know that at the end of the service, it's customary for us to use one of the benedictions or blessings we find within the Scriptures, and we use it to end the service, to convey that. Well, these were originally written to express the author's desire and prayer for his readers. The blessing that he hopes they will receive from everything that they've been taught, everything that they've come to understand and know. And so in some ways, a benediction does sum up a lot of what's in a letter, a biblical letter, and it serves as a final picture of its application in our lives, or what the author desires will be the application in our lives. As we prepare to read this one from the book of Hebrews, along with some final greetings, you might remember that in the last couple of chapters, the author has been making some practical applications. And the last set of practical applications all had to do with their leaders. All had to do with their leaders whom they were going to need help from in order to stay strong in the faith and in order to walk in the Christian way of life. And so as we saw last week, they were told to remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you in the past. And they were challenged to consider the outcome of their way of life and to imitate their faith. They were also encouraged to obey their current leaders, those who had who were shepherding them, and to submit to them. Because those current leaders were those who were in charge of keeping watch over their souls. And then they were also finally encouraged by the author to pray for them, to pray for their leaders, who would have to give an account for watching over them, to pray that they would act honorably in all things. As we come to the writer's benediction or blessing, we're going to see that he continues to have leaders on his mind. Except now it's very interesting to me that he seeks to bless them by pointing them one final time to the Lord Jesus as their ultimate and eternal leader, whom he calls the Great Shepherd of the Sheep. That's why we sang that hymn just a moment ago, Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Because we're being pointed in this last little section, this last blessing, to the Great Shepherd of the Sheep. Hear the word of the Lord one final time from the book of Hebrews and see how we're pointed afresh to Jesus. He closes the book in this way. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the Great Shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do His will, working in us that which is well, which is pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I appeal to you, brothers, bear with my word of exhortation, for I have written to you briefly. You should know that our brother Timothy has been released, with whom I shall see you if he comes soon. Greet all your leaders and all the saints. Those who come from Italy send you greetings. Grace be with you all. Again, this is God's word to us this day. You know, when we think of where our blessings come from, it's probably not uncommon for most of us in this room to acknowledge that they come from God. But did you notice that the author, in seeking to invoke this blessing upon them, calls upon God as the God of peace to bless them? The God who's able to bring about lasting peace, obviously, between holy God and sinful man. The God who's able to bring about reconciliation and therefore unity once again. The God who is able to give us peace in our hearts because He's able to cause us to be at peace with Him. As he begins to invoke the God of peace, he explains and brings up some of the ways in the big picture of how he was able to bring about this peace. By bringing back from the dead the Lord Jesus, the Great Shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant. That's a mouthful, isn't it? There's so much in that. But think about some of the basics and some of the high points of that. By bringing Jesus back from the dead, what do we know about His power? We know that He has power over the penalty of sin like none other. We know that He has power over what we would probably say is our greatest enemy, death. Because with death comes not only the end of life, it would come about judgment as well if we didn't have Christ. By it being the Lord Jesus, whom He brought back from the dead, what do we know about God's relationship with this shepherd, with this Savior? Jesus is none other than the Lord, the divine Son of God, who was called to be our Savior. And by this Lord being the Great Shepherd of the sheep, what do we know about God's provision for salvation from His wrath? It came about because of a Savior, of this Savior, laying down His life for the sheep. Something greater than any other spiritual leader has ever done for them or could ever do for them. And by it being through His shed blood, what do we know about the justice of God? His justice has been satisfied for all eternity because it is the blood of the sinless Lamb of God. It's secured for us an eternal covenant relationship with the Lord that cannot be broken, in which He will minister to us and care for us forever. Think on that just for a moment. Yes, there's a lot of basics in there. There's a lot of things you've heard before. But think about the fact that it's from this God, the God of peace, that the writer is seeking His readers and wants His readers to be blessed. Which brings up an interesting question. Is that the God from whom we're seeking blessing? The God who's truly able to give us peace. Or could it be that you've never really come to know God in that way? Or could it be that you're being tempted like some of the Hebrews were being tempted to turn away from the God of peace and you're looking for peace somewhere else? Because the world's always offering us and always claiming to be able to give us something that they really can't give us, that only the God of peace can give us. I think it's extremely important that we make sure that this is the God whom we know. This is the God whom we put our trust in. Because as Richard Phillips, who I've quoted throughout this study, has written, he said something very insightful. He said, the message of Christianity is not that we must do God's will and then we can be at peace with God. We can never do His will until we first receive His peace and are made to be at peace with Him. I don't know how familiar you are with the book of Romans and Paul's writing there, but he makes one really powerful statement that just sums it up so succinctly about how we come to be at peace with God. It's in chapter 5, and it's the first verse, and he says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're justified. We're declared just in God's sight by faith. And because of that faith, we have peace with God. I don't know, I'm sure you're like me, you're following all the world events and all the terrible atrocities that are being committed and have recently been committed and in the name of a false god, and as I'm listening and I'm seeing the reports, as I'm listening to even how it's being reported very often, I've just been struck again by how many people in the world don't know the true and living God. Don't have any idea what makes for true and lasting peace. Doesn't have any idea where that true and lasting safety is found in Jesus as our Savior. And how right living, it's really found in knowing Him. It's knowing Him as our Lord. It's following Him in His loving ways. Do you see? Are you beginning to get a sense of what the author wants and he's beginning to desire for them? Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the faith, may He bless you by the blood of the eternal covenant. A covenant that will never end. Well, notice how he builds on this. Because it's the God of peace who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom the author appeals and asks to equip them with everything good. The writer wasn't just desiring that they be saved from their sins and be at peace with God, but that they would be equipped with everything they needed to do God's will. Which made me wonder about how we try to equip ourselves to do God's will. You know, our natural inclination to do God's will sometimes is to simply try harder. Y'all have gone down that road? I'm just gonna do better. I'm just gonna focus on this or that, and so often we can just try to even discern God's will on our own. And yet so often when we try to do anything on our own, what always happens? Well, we fall flat on our face again. And of course, even as we're trying, we fall flat on our face. But it's so interesting how so often I have to keep going back to the fact that Lord, I'm trying to do things on my own. But then I'm brought back to the fact I don't have the knowledge, I don't have the wisdom, I don't have the strength in and of myself to do your will. And it's easy to get frustrated and to get defeated. And I think it's important to see that as this letter closes, how the writer asks God to do this. He asks God to do it through Jesus Christ the great shepherd of the sheep. Jesus isn't just the great shepherd because he laid down his life for us, but he continues to shepherd us. And the thing that is incredible to think about is that as our great shepherd, our good shepherd, he has made full provision. He has full provision for our growth in godliness. But it comes through Jesus. It's always coming through Jesus. There's a very important opening verses to 2 Peter. And in 2 Peter, he really speaks to this, and notice what it says. It's a very, it sounds almost like a benediction, but then he kind of introduces 2 Peter with almost a blessing, but then goes into instruction. And he says this, "May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence." Okay, break that down for just a quick second. Grace and peace be multiplied to you how? In the knowledge of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ. Okay. Well, focus on knowledge. Then he says, His divine power has granted to us all that we need for life and godliness. How? Through the knowledge of Him. Where does divine power come from? For a life of godliness? It comes through the knowledge of Him. Through the knowledge of God and of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's through Him. It's through Him. And as we think about bringing this to an end of the study of Hebrews, think about how the writer set the stage for this through all that we've learned about Jesus through our study of Hebrews. Just think about a couple of the high points that we've looked at. Well, we've come to know that Jesus is more excellent than anything else in heaven on earth, haven't we? Because as we read in our call to worship, He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of God's nature. One of the things that had to be brought out to the first century believers was that He's superior to angels, whom they and we might be prone to want to look to for help to. Because after making purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. God has acknowledged Him as His Son and given Him a throne and a kingdom that will endure forever and ever. When you know that, you're never the same, are you? Think about what else we've learned. Because we've come to know that Jesus is more excellent than any biblical leader, we might be tempted to turn back to in an inappropriate way. Even Moses, who led God's people out of Egypt. Yes, Moses was faithful in God's house as a servant, but what did we learn? Jesus was faithful over God's house as a son. We are part of God's house through faith in His Son. It is Jesus whom we're to commit to follow, not the Old Testament ceremonial laws given by Moses. So that we will experience even greater blessing if we walk in the ways of Christ. And even as the Old Testament believers look forward to the promised rest of the promised land, we're told that a Sabbath rest remains for the people of God who trust in Christ that we look to. Look at something else we learned. We've come to know that Jesus is more excellent than any high priest, even Aaron, Moses' nephew. Yes, Aaron entered into the Holy of Holies when the tabernacle was built, as every priest did that followed him. But Jesus has passed through the heavens into the very presence of God. He intercedes for us as a high priest who is tempted in every way we are tempted, and yet He is without sin. He is a high priest forever, according not to the according to the Aaronic priesthood, but according to the order of who? Melchizedek. And so with confidence, we can draw near to God, to God's throne of grace through Jesus, and receive mercy and help at any time that we are in need. Think about what we also, another high point we've learned. We've come to know that because of Jesus' priesthood, that His ministry is more excellent than anyone else's ministry. He's described as the guarantor of a better covenant that is enacted on better promises because He is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through Him. And why is He able to save to the uttermost? Because His sacrifice was a better sacrifice on account of the shedding of His blood. When He entered into the holy place, into the heavens, He once for all secured an eternal redemption. And again, what are we told? We can now draw near to God in full assurance. You like that word, full assurance? I like that word. Fully assured. Because our hearts have been sprinkled clean from an evil conscience with the blood of Christ. And our bodies, as it goes on to say, washed with pure water. And then consider one more. We've come to know that Jesus is the founder and the perfecter of our faith. He's brought the faith of all who approach God through Him to its intended goal because He's lived it out fully Himself. He's lived out the faith perfectly Himself. And we can now run the race with endurance, this race of faith, by looking to Him and be reminded of how He ran and how for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross, despising the shame. Where's all the focus? It's on Christ. Where's all the strength found? It's through Christ. And it's as Christ begins to work through His Word and through His truth, and He applies it through His Spirit, that then we are strengthened to do what? To do God's will. To do that which is well-pleasing, or as I say well-pleasing, I've still got my King James Version in my brain, well-pleasing in God's sight. It has to come through Jesus. I wonder if you really come to realize that. I hope so. Jesus empowers us really through the knowledge of Him. Because once we come to know something, we know it, we're assured it, we understand it. It's not just something we know up here, but we know. Y'all know how powerful that is? You didn't know something. You really didn't get it. But you got it. Changes you. It changes you from then on. You begin to act on that because you not only know it, but you believe it. And as you believe it, it's strengthening you and you live up to you live according to what you truly believe day in and day out. And so do you see where the author is going? May the God of peace, who brought again from the dead the Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep by the blood of the eternal covenant, may He bless you. But how may He bless you? By equipping you to do everything good, that you may do His will, working in you what is pleasing in God's sight through Jesus Christ. Which then leads to the last part. Because finally, because it is through Jesus that God equips us with everything good and works in us what is well-pleasing in His sight, the blessing ultimately the author desires is that it would give glory to Christ. To Jesus all the glory is to be given. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. It's that Christ would be honored that the author ultimately desires, that He would be lifted up, that He would be magnified, that He would be known, that He would be praised. Because it's all been done, again, through Him. You know, one of the signs of knowing the blessing of God is that Christ is glorified on account of what's taking place in our lives. You know, as we bring this to completion, to make sure you get the magnitude of this benediction and blessing, I want to finish by pointing your attention to one other benediction and blessing. It's found at the end of Romans chapter 11. I don't know how many of you have studied Romans, but Romans is Paul's greatest theological treatise. If you're going to get into Romans, you're getting into heavy-duty stuff. And especially as you get into the middle chapters that deal with the doctrines of election and predestination and God's sovereignty. And it's interesting, as he gets through with the whole doctrinal section of Romans, and he's about to transition into the application. Before he can even transition into the application, he's brought to this praise, this blessing. But he's blessing even that God would be blessed. And listen to what he exclaims. It's if you've read Romans and tried to understand all of Romans in one sitting, you're probably going, you would respond the same way. Because he goes like this: "Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God." He's blown away by what he's written himself. "How unsearchable are his judgments, and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid?" Do you see where he's getting at? You can't get to the depths of this. We can't even dig deep enough, because it's so deep, the judgments, the ways, the works of God in comparison to men. But then this is how he concludes: "For from him, and through him, and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen." Isn't that powerful? Well, have you noticed that this is similar to the way that the author of Hebrews closed his book? He's mentioned from God, the God of peace. May God work and bless you through Jesus Christ and to Jesus Christ forever and ever. For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. I wonder if you've ever come, if you've come to know that. To even get a glimpse of that, a grasp of that. Because it's truly awe-inspiring. But it's also life-changing. It's all about Christ. It's from Him. It's through Him. And it's to His glory. And because of that, it's essential then that we hold fast to Jesus. Remember the Hebrew Christians, what were they being tempted to do? Drift away, fall away, turn away. Don't ever turn away from Jesus. He is the Son of God. He is the only Savior. He is the exact imprint of His nature. He is the one mediator between God and man. He is, as we're about to sing in a moment, He is the Redeemer. The one who has paid for our penalty and can truly rescue us from our sins. And I hope if anything, as we end this study, that you're just clinging to Christ even more than ever. That you cherish Him and you see Him more fully for who He is and what He's done and what He's accomplished and what is promised to you, and that you know, and I'm secure. I'm secure because I'm in Christ. I have a future and a hope because I'm in Christ. It's all about Christ. And you're beginning to pray, Lord, make my life all about Christ. Help me through Christ, through looking to Christ. Give me strength to do the good things, the application, the practical things that should be the outflow. Because He's the one who can give us strength. He's the one who can help us. He's the one who's seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us at the throne of grace, from whom we can find mercy and help in our time of need. Do you see how it all fits together? It's an incredible, incredible book, because it's about an incredible Savior, the Lord Jesus. So let's pray to Him, and then in a moment we're going to have a great song of response to God's Word. Let's sing. Now let's pray. Lord Jesus, we